Punishers. Is the Punisher a mutant? I mean, he was in Vietnam, so he's like 45 and running around killing everybody, having been stabbed, shot, and punched over 100 times. If he is, I know why. In his battle with Wolverine, maybe Wolverine's blood leaked into the Punisher's bloodstream and changed him. One final thing. When is the Punisher movie coming out? Kevin Wells, Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to Frank Discussions, a podcast all about the Punisher. This episode's guest is Al Kennedy, who is one half of the comics podcast House to Astonish. Hi, Al.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Where can we find your stuff?
You can find House to Astonish, which is a sort of irregular but usually generally monthly podcast about comics online at house2astonish.com. And you can get me on Twitter at house2astonish.
Fantastic. This episode's listener question comes from Adlai M via Twitter.
Excellent.
Did the Punisher have fun on his jet ski? Thank you, Adlai. So yeah, this is one that I think needs a little bit of backstory explanation, although not much.
It's one of the all-time great pieces of comics illustration, isn't it, really?
Oh, absolutely. Do you want to...
No, after you, this is your house.
Okay, so... Basically, there is a Punisher War Journal cover, which features a picture of the Punisher on a jet ski, and the cover copy says, "You've just rented a jet ski to the Punisher! Kiss that baby goodbye!" It's very, very good.
It would be good if the two things were totally separate statements. So one is, you just rented a jet ski to the Punisher, okay.
Yeah.
Two is... There is an entirely separate story happening in this comic about a man's divorce proceedings, and he is about to lose all right of contact with his child because of bad stuff that has happened. And so it's just, kiss that baby goodbye. You're never going to see your baby again. It's a sad thing, but maybe you shouldn't have been a domestic abuser. Because the Punisher's coming for you now.
Long-time listeners... If you've caught episode 3 featuring Sean McTiernan, you may be aware that some people do read The Punisher as a veiled narrative of a divorced dad who lost custody of his kids and doesn't see his ex-wife anymore.
I suppose he did lose custody of his children in a very extreme way.
Dead.
Yeah,
but I mean, what if they do? Anyway. What I really like about this cover, I just want to talk about this cover for a second. So of course he's got a giant gun, because he is the Punisher, and his clothing is ripped. Okay, so you know how, in the 90s especially, they would do this thing where if a female, character, like a female superhero got into a fight, her clothing would get strategically ripped?
Oh yeah, it would tear everywhere except across sort of the front of the boob, usually.
Yeah. And you never get, like, a tear kind of just down by the ankle or whatever.
Mm.
It would always be, like, across the thigh, right under the butt, the kind of boob window area, etc.
Yeah, it's like, you would always, like, She-Hulk's suits or whatever would always turn into what were essentially kind of flappy nightgowns. But it was like, it will rip so that we can kind of just see the bottom of her buttocks. But, you know, we never have got a shot of She-Hulk's green butthole on panel.
Oh, God. But the Punisher has kind of, like, a man version of this going on, so he doesn't have a boob window, or pec window, rather. But his clothes are torn in these sort of, like, there's a big rip across the thigh, there's a midriff one. And I thought he was just wearing a tank top at first, but he's wearing his regular skull shirt. But somehow the sleeves have been torn off. I prefer to think he did that himself.
I think he just takes clothes home from shops and he's like, these don't look extreme enough for me. I'm the Punisher and I've got a reputation to maintain. No one will want to see me dressed like a square. I'm going to dress like a cool kid and I'm going to like rip the knees of these jeans. So it's just the Punisher just like wearing a pair of jeans, skidding backwards and forwards across his living room floor on his knees, trying to rip the knees of his jeans. Like, he's so hardcore that he's doing it outside on gravel and everything.
This is, actually, besides the sort of sexy slash extreme look he's got himself into, what I really like about this is even the jet ski looks very kind of martial. It's in, because, you know, when you think jet ski rental, you think kind of, like, bright colors and fun names or whatever. No, this jet ski is olive green and brown, and there's a little bit of a red chevron near the top bit, but then the rest of it's kind of gray and black. So it's a combat jet ski.
Like a camo jet ski.
Yeah, basically. And the cover is credited to, incidentally, Jim Lee and Klaus Janson. So,
oh, that's interesting.
I think it's Janson inking and Jim Lee pencils.
That's an interesting combination. You don't get that very often, do you? I mean, I've never read Jim Lee's Punisher. I know that was where he kind of cut his teeth at Marvel, but I've never read any of that stuff. But
they're pretty good, you know. I mean, you can tell that it's Jim Lee, but it doesn't have the sort of what we come to think of as Jim Lee quirks.
The incredibly detailed soles of shoes and that kind of
thing. Yeah, and like the super long legs.
Yeah.
The way, you know, with the women with the hyper developed thighs that still somehow have the thigh gap.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And the super long legs. That whole deal. And oh yeah, and like the costumes that the front and back wedgie costumes. Yeah, I don't know what else to call them because that's really what it looks like. It looks so uncomfortable in the front. Yeah, but I think, you know, because the Punisher is the Punisher, there's not so much you can do there. And because the Punisher lives in a nominally realistic world, you can't draw women who have just kind of these constant, who are walking around in a state of constant, presumably, genital discomfort.
Yeah. I think the Punisher probably likes to maintain a certain amount of chafe himself, though. Just to make sure he's kept angry at all times.
Well, if you catch the episode immediately preceding this one, my mom asked me if the Punisher even needs to wear underwear, and I said, yes, of course, I think he does, Mom. And she said, well, you never see any, what do you call them, panty bulges? I'm like, yeah, Mom, panty bulges. So, yeah, I think the chafing sort of helps him to keep focus, like, it helps him to keep the anger going and remember his commitment to the war on crime. Speaking of which, This amazing cover, it points out that the jet ski was rented, not commandeered or anything, just, you know, if you are the owner of the jet ski rental, let's say, and you live in the universe where the Punisher operates, and if you've rented a jet ski to the Punisher, I presume you do that with the knowledge that you may well not get it back, or at least if you get it back, it won't be in any sort of usable condition.
So do you reckon that he knows that he's rented it to the Punisher? Like, he's given him ID that says, like, T Punisher on it.
And
it's
probably, like, oh, yeah, P Punisher.
That's me, Ted Punisher.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some kind of indication. Like, I can't remember, actually, what... I'm going to go check what happens in this comic, because I'm sure it's batshit. But I've been thinking about the insurance premiums on these kinds of things. if you live in a universe where the Punisher operates, those insurance premiums are kind of so much stuff must just be nuts.
I think everybody's insurance in the Marvel Universe must have special waivers included. Like, I know that damage control, one of the things damage control apparently did was they offered, like, superhero insurance packages, and they would come and, like, literally clean up and rebuild your house and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, like, the second ever damage control story is a Marvel Comics Presents one in which Josie's bar gets destroyed in a fight between Daredevil and Turk Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
And the place gets, like, Turk smashed to find a grenade or something like that, and the place just gets destroyed. and Mrs. Hoag and Damage Control turn up and rebuild the entire bar in about a minute. just with like dropping prefab walls down and stuff like that. So the people must take out superhero insurance, particularly if you live in New York. I imagine that there's less call for it if you live in like Wisconsin or something like that. Because I'm trying to think if there are any superhero supervillains from Wisconsin. Gravity is from Wisconsin, I think. He's about the only one I can think of. Something like that. If you live out in the absolute middle of nowhere, then I'm sure you probably don't have to worry quite so much about it. Unless you're in the middle of a crossover, in which case you just have to hope that you're not part of one of those 8-page stories in an anthology B-title miniseries. Well, like a Frontline series or something like that.
Well, I've gone back and checked, and he is, in fact, wearing, because this takes place in Hawaii, I don't know how I forgot that, but he's wearing his Punisher top under an open Aloha shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of think they would have clocked, you know.
Yeah, it's not the most subtle guy.
He's really not, although they don't really show the rental scene, it's just he's not on the jet ski, and then later he is on a jet ski, so... I've been wondering about this, like the logistics of how he does what he does. I mean, we know that I think most of his firearms and things are either obtained, like, yeah, his firearms I think are obtained on the black market, electronics either black market or obtained legally and then modified.
Mm.
But yeah, what's the sort of legal aspect of this besides all the murdering, which is not
which I think the murdering is definitely a hazy area. I suppose Frank Castle's two main legal issues that he has in his general comic career is, one is he murders like constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's forever murdering. It's like having a cat that won't stop just destroying your furniture. If you can like move Frank Castle into another room and like, you know, spray his nose with a water bottle, but he will just keep murdering.
Right.
And the other, of course, is defrauding jet ski rental places, which he does with surprising. I mean, who can forget that bit in the classic Punisher Max miniseries, Punisher Born, by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson, where having just killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and totally broken and essentially become the Punisher within his soul, he then rents a jet ski for 8 pages. That was only in the first printing that they didn't put that in the trade.
Anyone
goes back and checks now, it's not there. It's not the digital version either. It's just the first print. You had to be there.
Is there a joke about somebody, about a mildly bad guy getting something lodged inside his butt? Like while he's in the ocean, like he's in the ocean and then something, perhaps like the jet ski just... I think, I remember this. I remember this because the jet ski gets hit by, like, not a torpedo, but something like that, but, like, smaller, less ordnance. And the whole thing kind of blows apart, and a mildly bad guy gets part of the jet ski, like, lodged inside his butt. Mm-hmm. And it's horrifying, but it's hilarious because, as Garth Ennis knows, there is literally nothing funnier in the entire world than a man having something in his butt when he didn't want it there.
I think that's the point where the bad guy then says something sort of mildly racist as well.
Yeah.
But it's okay because he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's got discomfort of some shrapnel in his butt. Classic stories.
Yeah. Guys, by the way, this never happened. Please don't go looking for it and then blame us.
Or did it? It didn't.
Well.
Or did it?
Like, okay, yeah, it depends on if you get the sort of, like, the limited,
complete the limited dream secret version.
Yeah, the limited dream version. That...
that only exists in a library in the Sandman comics.
Oh, God! Oh, no. In that case, don't go looking for it. Because then you have to, like, plow through, you know, Neil Gaiman's volume of hot... Neil Gaiman's collection of poems to... Goth Chicks I wanted to bang, Volume 1.
Just Volume 1. Yeah, that's what most of the library is made up of. Oh, yeah, no, if you're getting stuck in old issues of Sandman trying to find your way to bits of the Library of Dreams that have got Garth Ennis comics. And I mean, have you ever dreamt a comic didn't exist?
Wait, have I ever dreamt about a comic that didn't
that
exist?
That didn't exist, yeah.
Or dreamt that a comic that does exist in real life did not exist?
No, that I have that dream, but about Mark Miller's Trouble. But have you dreamt about a comic that didn't exist?
I'm fairly sure I have.
I was talking to Dan White about this, and I fairly regularly have dreams in which I end up in a secondhand bookstore where they have loads and loads of comics that I've never seen before that I desperately want to buy and I've not got any money. This always happens in my dream. And I dreamt I found a four-issue prestige format Alan Davis written and drawn Cloak and Dagger miniseries from the 1980s. And I desperately wish that comic existed because that would be brilliant.
Sadly,
it doesn't. It only exists in the Dreamweaver's Dream Library of all the comics that never were published.
What if, though? What if the Dream Library, the Dreamweaver's Library of Books that never were, what if it's real? But, okay, you know how, according to Grant Morrison, kind of every story is real but in an alternate sort of narrative dimension?
Uh-huh. That sounds like something he'd say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, basically, like, that's what it is.
I didn't know he'd said that, but it's very plausible.
Yeah, I mean, not in so many words, but it's sort of like, you know, how to us a Superman comic is not real, because we're three-dimensional beings looking at a two-dimensional story.
Okay.
But what if we three-dimensional beings are being viewed the same way by beings from a higher dimension?
Oh.
But we're real, right? So, like, what if every story is real in its own little dimension?
What that means is that the beings in the dimension one up from us are reading a lot of very boring comics.
I know, I feel sorry for them. But, yeah, so then that means the Dream Library is in its own little tiny pocket dimension, and what if you're the only one who can access it?
That would be quite good, but I've got quite a lot of comics that I haven't read already, is the problem.
I was going to say, I think it's a blessing and a curse, though. Because if you can't control which one shows up in your dreams, you know, one night it's Alan Davis's Cloak and Dagger, another night
it's Chuck Austin's Aphrodite 9 or something.
It's Mark Miller's Life of Martin Luther King.
You know how Marvel published, I think it was just a one-shot, but it was The Life of the Pope.
Kinda.
And it was like Life of Pope John Paul II.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
okay.
And if that had caught on and the entire line was just spin-offs of, like, their Spectacular Pope and Web of the Pope.
Ultimate Pope.
And Ultimate Pope. Ultimate Comics Pope. And, you know, all that kind of thing. And just, you end up that night your dreams take you to the Dreamweaver's Dream Library where all the comics that never were exist.
Uh-huh.
And it's just endless, uninspired pabulum pit fillers of Pope spin-offs with die-cut covers with bullet holes in them and, like, reflective blood and, pop-ups and lenticular things. All the other amazing stuff that we had in the 1990s.
We can only hope. I was trying to find a word that didn't rhyme with Pope, but I did not do right.
That was the slogan for the comics. You can only hope for the Pope.
Nice. Well,
This was a Punisher podcast at one point, wasn't it? Like many years ago.
Yeah. It's back in the muddled dreamscape summer mind. Something else I wanted to ask actually was, or something else I've been wondering about is, so the Punisher's warehouse hideout. He's been in that warehouse for quite some time, which actually makes me think. I mean, like, you don't just hang out. It's freaking New York. Like, how long are you gonna have an abandoned warehouse up? Real estate is at a premium unless you're in the middle of nowhere, which I don't think he is.
Yeah, they're going to tear that warehouse down and they're going to build, like, some apartments and, like, a coffee shop,
yeah, basically. So either he's got God knows how many hideouts, but then that sounds kind of impractical because in at least some comics, he's got a shower and stuff. Like, so he's got plumbing and electricity in there. So you can't just pack everything up and go somewhere else, you know, every single day. Mm-hmm. How is he keeping that going? Does he own the building? Is he paying rent or what?
I think the Punisher probably does own the building because basically Punisher works like Grand Theft Auto. When you kill a bad guy, they drop guns and money, uh-huh, and you just walk over them and pick them up.
In my experience.
And so, like, well, I mean, we know that's canon, isn't it? Like, the Punisher basically takes money from bad guys that kills. Like, he's not that bothered about where the money came from.
Not really.
He's a dreadful hypocrite, the Punisher. That's obviously the worst of his crimes. That, and he never returns jet skis. Those are definitely two worst things that he does. So I think he probably does own some. And bear in mind that he will, like, when his comic launched in, like, the 80s, you know, there were... He probably was able to pick up this property much more cheaply than he would be now because it was not an area that was being gentrified in the way that it is nowadays.
Sure.
Whatever part of New York it is that he's in. So, like, he probably bought it relatively cheaply and now he's just got, like, he's got things like, he's got a Batcave style thing, which is all his trophies, but instead of it being like a dinosaur and, you know, a massive penny, it's just loads and loads and loads of, like, heads. It's just severed heads, as far as the eye can see. It's like, it's like Mombi's walk-in wardrobe. It's just horrific. And, you know, nice suits that he's taken from mobsters. And, you know, nice... He keeps killing mafia guys, right? So presumably he is getting quite a lot of nicely tailored Italian shirts.
Yes, I mean, assuming they're his size, because he's buff as hell.
Yeah, well, I mean, he does kill a lot of big guys.
That's true. Maybe that's why.
He kills a lot of guys that look like sort of jobbing WWE guys.
Oh no, John Cena!
I think the Punisher would team up with John Cena.
I'm actually really surprised they've never... Because they did a thing where the Punisher met Eminem one time, but they've never done, like, Punisher versus a guy from WWE, and that would make infinite more sense.
I think it's because... I mean, to my limited knowledge of WWE, I don't think they like showing, like, violence with guns or anything like that. I think it's like, yes, you can... You know, if the Punisher was killing people with trestle tables, then that would probably be fine. You know, if he was just walking up into the meeting of a bunch of mafia bosses and from his back pocket he produces a surprisingly easily damaged ladder, then I think that the WWE would have been way more on that as a crossover. But I think the difficulty is with the Punisher is he a face or is he a heel? You know, he's a good guy, but he's a bad good guy.
Right.
Like, he's a hero. You know, he fights on the side of the heroes in, you know, Infinity War or whatever, you know. But he does straight up murder a lot of people.
He really, really does, but I appreciate that he's honest about it.
I was reading a comic yesterday, the day before, that had... I was posting panels from it on Twitter. It was a Spider-Man... summer crossover. No, it wasn't even a crossover. It looked like a crossover because it had so many guest stars. By the last part of it, it's got five other superheroes guest starring in it. And it's called Round Robin the Sidekick's Revenge, and it's from about 92. And it was a 6-part bi-weekly story in which Spidey teams up with a bunch of characters, and one of them is the Punisher. And the Punisher in this version... It's very much that kind of early 90s, I'm a superhero kind of Punisher.
Yeah, but with... quick with the wisecracks, and they're all going to be bad.
He's punning. Like,
he is the Punisher.
He's the Punisher. Like, he's the pun issuer. He's
nice.
He is issuing puns rapid fire. It was really weird to see, because, like, there's him... Nova, Night Thrasher, Darkhawk, Spider-Man, and Moon Knight, mm-hmm. right? That's the team of guys, right? Uh-huh. Proper, obviously, A-list collection that you got there.
Mm.
And they're all just, like, they're fighting loads of Secret Empire guys. Weirdly enough, it's the Secret Empire, oddly topically. And they're all just like, oh, Punisher, oh, I'm not a massive fan of your methods, but you get the job done. It's like, he murders people!
See, this is what I'm saying. He's honest. Like, everyone else is like, oh, no, it's bad, but, oh, look, all these people are now out of commission. It's like the, you know, the joke that people kept making about Daredevil about, and I've done this too. Like, I mean, I've been making these jokes. Like, you know how Daredevil says, like, oh, killing is bad. And then he goes and throws a safe against a guy's head and throws another guy down some stairs. And it's like, killing is bad, but massive brain trauma that might lead to death. And, you know, doing stuff to people that might result in lifetime quadriplegia, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm fairly sure, like, Wolverine's killed people. Like, come on. I'm not even counting the movies, but, like, he's 900% killed people.
Yeah, and he's 900.
Yeah.
As well. Like, he's been around a long time. And I think they have established that Wolverine has killed people in the past. Yeah.
And,
the one that was difficult for me to get my head around was the whole Hulk math thing. Remember when, I don't know if you remember this, basically, Amadeus Cho, uh-huh. great character, gets created by Greg Pak and Tak Miyazawa. And he comes into the Hulk as a kind of supporting character, mm-hmm. and one of the things that he does early on is basically he says that Bruce Banner's subconscious mind, mm-hmm. the scientist brain that is lurking still within the Hulk,
mm-hmm.
is calculating constantly about where people are and like angles that he can throw things at, and that the Hulk has literally never killed anybody,
mm-hmm.
because he's constantly working it out subconsciously what he can do to cause damage without harming anyone. And to be honest, that sounds like a bit of a reach to me.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea that the sort of scientist brain is still in there, mm-hmm. but... And it also, to me, sort of fundamentally misrepresents what kind of intelligence is, I suppose.
Mm.
Or, like, it restricts it to this very narrow definition of intelligence, whereas, you know, there's people who, like, I don't know if it's called physical intelligence, but it's sort of to differentiate between people who are very, let's say, like, really good at STEM subjects but are highly physically uncoordinated versus, mm-hmm. you know, someone like, I don't know, Wayne Rooney, who doesn't come up across, like, the most intelligent, quote-unquote intelligent person when he speaks, but he's really good at football.
Yeah, and in, like, order to do that, he is making incredibly complicated geometric calculations.
Yes, very quickly.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's a lot that goes into that that certainly I would not be able to do. Not even at, like, the most kind of basic level. If anybody's ever seen me try to catch anything, like, you will know that. But this is what I mean. Like, that's not being honest. The Punisher is honest and... On it, and I think that on his insurance forms there should be a thing for that. Well, actually, how would that work from a legal standpoint, Al? Using your professional expertise, how would that work if the Punisher tried to get insurance for stuff?
This isn't so much a legal question as it is an insurance industry question. Okay. I think what would happen is that the Punisher would need to find somebody who would cover him,
right?
And he would. They would only cover him for things which were legal. They're not going to cover him to do illegal things.
Uh-huh.
So he's not going to get insurance for example, if he accidentally kills the wrong person.
Okay.
And needs to pay out to somebody's family.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was doing legal things, like if he wanted to, for example, drive a van or a jet ski,
mm-hmm.
as we know he likes to do, he likes to motor around in his van,
mm-hmm.
just playing his Top Gear Best Of album.
Sure.
I think that's probably... Park that, and we'll come back to that in a second, because that's an interesting... Well, I say it's interesting. It interested me. I don't know if it interested anybody else. But, yeah, so he would need to take out insurance just the same way as anybody else. I suspect what would happen is the Punisher probably has a drawer full of fake IDs. Like,
oh, yeah,
not just like I've laminated a bit of card, but like entire personalities, which Micro has created for him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, he's hacked into social security databases and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He has created completely false identities for people. Mm-hmm. And he will have given them, because he's not stupid, he won't have created completely spotless people. He will have given them, like, well, this guy got a speeding ticket 8 years ago or something like that, you know. Enough of that they don't look suspicious, but, you know, they're still not going to say, well, we're not going to rent you a jet ski because you keep totaling jet skis.
Yeah. Hire you to work in our school as a substitute teacher. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something I presume you... well, maybe I shouldn't presume, but, like, I'm guessing might be more in your mind now because you've got, you know, you're a dad now.
Yeah.
And you're, like, you're going to be starting to look at schools for your kids soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Marvel Universe seems to have a really sort of lax grasp on the concept of safeguarding, or at least that's what they thought, but then, you know, you bring up that Micro has probably created the kind of whole cloth identities for all of the Punisher's aliases, and that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense for how he got hired at a school to substitute teach children. He gets hired because he thinks the Libyans, all of the Libyans, are up to something.
Well, as we know from Back to the Future, that is the case.
Yeah, literally everyone who lives in that country.
Well, there only
are...
It's
a very complex operation.
Yeah, there only are about six of them, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Because they can all fit in that one van. But no, I mean, the Punisher is... Yeah, I'm not sure I would want the Punisher teaching my child.
I don't think
I suppose it depends what he was teaching. If he's teaching them, like, PE or something like that, then
yeah,
okay,
he was.
Fine. Well, that's fine. I'm sure the Punisher can teach them how to throw a basketball.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. I'm sure he'd just probably... I think the Punisher is a guy who is long on the planning and short on the execution. Like, he doesn't like elaborate plans that then take a long time to enact.
Mm.
He's like, I'll spend a week building dioramas of stuff so long as I can then get in and out in 10 minutes. So I suspect what happens is Punisher manages to get himself into the school as a substitute teacher. But when he gets there, he's just like, oh, I cannot be bothered making lesson plans. And all the marking is just prohibitively time-consuming. And so he's just like, well, do 10 laps of the school field.
There's another one that brings up the safeguarding question again, but he's not working at the school. This time it's in the back-to-school special, and he catches these kids who they start to get involved in petty crime, but it's like just kind of transporting money. Just
right.
Like,
I thought you meant like
person B for drug dealers.
I meant like stealing pogs.
No, stealing pogs is serious. You don't take another person's slammer. Anyway, so he catches them and he gives them like a stern talking to, and he says like, hey, you know, if you keep doing this, like, here's how it could end up. And they're like, oh wow, no, I don't want to do that. Like, that sucks. And then he says, okay, but so like, stay in school and make sure you to get A's in geometry. I'll be watching you to make sure like you stay on the straight and narrow. And then it cuts to like him in his van. In his unmarked van, just hanging out outside the school, watching these kids. And nobody comes outside from the school to say, hey, are you related to these children at all? Like, do you work here?
Are you just an unshaven man in a van outside
the
school
is.
For several
days? He's not even being that inconspicuous about it. He's just kind of there, like, right outside the school. That can't be legal, can it?
I think certainly he could... There are a variety of charges he could face. certainly, one of them would definitely, like, he's loitering without the slightest shadow of a doubt. I mean, I think still the murder thing is probably more of a priority for a prosecutor. But yeah, no, I don't think that a lot of the stuff that the Punisher does is the kind of thing where if he took a good hard look at himself, you know, if he got one of these sort of cosmically aware characters, grabbed him by the sides of the head and stared into his eyes and made made his eyes into little black star fields for a minute, then the Punisher would be like, oh, I am an enormous monster. I am probably the worst out of all criminals that I have ever encountered. And he would just go and, you know, chuck himself in front of a train or something like
that. I'm trying to remember. Like, there is one where Ghost Rider tries to penance stare him.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm thinking of the right comic, this, I think this has happened more than once, but there's at least one where it doesn't work. Right. Because for penance stare to work, somebody has to have felt bad about what they did.
They have to feel guilty about it. Whereas the Punisher just has no guilt whatsoever.
Yeah, like, he's
a completely broken man.
Yeah, because to him, like, it is the right thing to do, so he doesn't feel bad about it.
Mm. Yeah, he's a weird, weird man.
But full of puns.
Yeah. but going back to what I was thinking about a minute ago,
The
Punisher driving along and he's just cruising along and what he's listening to. Mm-hmm. In his van, I think he is probably a fan of the kind of radio friendly classic rock kind of stuff. I think he's a Toto fan, but not just Africa, but like Hold the Line and everything. Like,
oh, probably, yeah.
He's, can you not just imagine, like, he's cruising along like the highway. He's covered in blood. He's on his way, like his van just reeks of cordite and he's just like window down and he's going like, you're motoring, what's your price for fight, and just singing, you know, Night Ranger, like,
yeah. You know, I'm imagining him just, you know, dead body actually in the back of the van because, you know, there's no way to dispose of it right here, like, you gotta go do your thing somewhere else and then dump what's left in the river with some weights tied to it, or like dissolve it in acid, I don't know, whatever. And he still hasn't scrubbed the blood up from inside the back, so like it's all over the walls and there's probably just bits of, you know, intestine or bone or whatever, like kind of embedded in there. And it's, and he's got the radio on, and it's all right now. Baby, it's all right now. If they make another Punisher movie, they should get us on board to get the music started, because...
It'd be like Guardians of the Galaxy, like, but with a less cheesy, more Top Gear album-style soundtrack. Like, just some scene where, like, Frank is driving over bad guys, and, like, there's a sickening, wet crunch of bone and sinew tearing as he... squashes the life out of the eyes of all these mobsters, and he's behind the wheel going 2, 4, 6, 8, never too late, be my radio trucking on through the night, and so on, you know.
Well, there is a comic that actually got discussed on an earlier episode of this where he said he likes jazz but not rap.
of course he doesn't.
Yeah, he hates rap but he likes jazz, so he's not, like, it was to show that he was not raised. Although, like, the young black guy he was talking to said, like, oh, I bet you have, like, I bet, like, some of your best friends are black, right? And the guy's, and he's punished, he's like, oh, yeah, actually, I have, you know, my friend, I forget what the guy's name was, like, from back up in the Bronx, and the guy's, and then the young black guy's like, oh, yeah, like, one guy. But, yeah, I do remember the Punisher, like, but then maybe he doesn't really, maybe he just said that. Like, I think he is very into the music of the, not the exactly the cheery white men with guitars, but the white men with guitars whose apparent cheeriness masks a deep existential despair.
Yes, exactly. The guys who are very well suited for those long, endless Midwestern American roads that you see on the front covers of these sorts of albums.
What do you reckon he thinks of Fleetwood Mac?
I think he likes Fleetwood Mac, but it's got too many chicks in it.
What if, like, that's what he listens to relax, though? Like, not when he's driving, but, you know, when he's back at the hideout and with his heterosexual bud, Micro, and he's trying to, like, wind down from a hard day of punishing, and maybe he needs, like, lady music.
Kenny G. And Curtis Stigers.
And who?
Curtis Stigers. They did, you're all that matters to me, and all that kind of stuff.
Kenny G, I think that's, I don't know, that's pushing it. I feel like there's, you know, we're all here to laugh, we're all here to have fun, but...
But we're not going to besmirch this man's name.
Yeah, but I think, you know, like, I think there are certain lines that I'm not comfortable with crossing on this podcast. Like, we went, okay, you know, we went up to it, didn't cross it with, like, the pog stealing thing. And that I'm going to let slide because I know that's a joke, but I don't know, Kenny G, man, that's...
Yeah, that's a line, and I shouldn't have crossed that line.
What if he really likes, oh my god, what if he really likes Michael Bolton, but, like... Not ironically, like, it's his guilty pleasure. And by guilty pleasure, I mean, like, actually guilty. Like, he does actually feel, like,
less like bad.
Of, yeah, like, bad. Like, less of a man or something.
Ghost Rider Penance stares him and comes away going, something about Michael Bolton?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's the only thing Punisher feels guilty about, yeah. Is liking Michael Bolton. I tell you what, I bet you he is a huge, huge Billy Joel fan. Like, he's seen Billy Joel at Madison Square Gardens, like, 4 times.
Yeah, I think you're totally right.
Yeah,
like I think Piano Man speaks to him very deeply.
Piano Man makes him cry.
This owns. He is, in that moment, the Piano Man.
Sing us a song of the Punisher.
Sing it us
a song tonight. Yeah, totally.
Oh man.
Do you ever see Just on Jet Skis?
Yes.
Sorry, just the last thing on Jet Skis.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that advert that ran in Marvel Comics in about 1990 or 91?
Probably where there was a Marvel contest. Marvel Comics was a weird place. Like 1990, 1991, Marvel Comics was a weird place if you were a girl.
Yeah. There was a contest where you could win a silver surfer painted jet ski.
Oh shit.
Like, and what you would do as a presumably 9 or 10 year old boy reading Punisher comics in 1990 or 2000 with a Silver Surfer painted jet ski was never really queried by anybody, I don't think.
How big was the jet ski? Like,
it was a full sized adult jet ski.
Oh my god!
But like, detailed with the Silver Surfer on it.
Sure.
Like somebody's van with a wizard riding an eagle on it or something like that, but it was with, like, the Silver Surfer on a jet ski.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Hey, if by any chance you are listening to this podcast and you won this, or even like if you enter this contest, can you please leave a comment or get in touch with me or something? Because I really, really want to know what went into this and what you actually do with the jet ski once you have it.
I would settle, given the odds of that happening, I would settle for someone just finding a scan of the competition advert.
Or, if you won, what region of wherever, you know, were you living at the time? Were you, like, you know, near the ocean? Or were you, like, 200 miles, 2,000 miles inland, or what?
It's just some guy called Dwight from Boise. He's got Silver Surfer jet ski and nowhere to put it.
Oh, God. I'm imagining Dwight from The Office now.
Yeah, probably. Oh, dear.
So I think that's answered the question. Like, the Punisher did not necessarily have fun on the jet ski, but it also depends on what music was playing at the time.
Yeah, I hope you're happy with that, Adlai.
Because that's as good as it's going to get. Yeah. Here on Frank Discussions. Yeah, I think that is a good place to wrap up, actually. So, thank you, Al, for joining us today and sharing your expertise.
Thank you very much for having me on. It was really good fun.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, it's good times. So I've been trying to find a good catchphrase to sign off the podcast with, and I've been trying to come up with a good one, but I haven't settled on a single one that could be the perfect sign off for all episodes forever. What I'm going to do then is I'll be trialing different catchphrases at the end of these episodes, and if you like it or you hate it, or you think it's really great or stupid or whatever, leave comments or get at me on Twitter and let me know what you think. So this episode's trial catchphrase comes courtesy of Al. So thanks Al. So this is it for episode 8 of Frank Discussions. See you later and keep it high caliber.
That was good.